Now let us consider a little further episode in the life of Samuel, as related, of course, to the nation of Israel, found in 1 Samuel chapter 8, the first book of Samuel chapter 8. And it came to pass when Samuel was old that he made his sons judges over Israel. Now the name of his firstborn was Joel, and the name of his second Abiah. They were judges in Beersheba. And his sons walked not in his ways, but turned aside after lucre, and took bribes, and perverted judgment. Then all the elders of Israel gathered themselves together, and came to Samuel unto Ramah, and said unto him, Behold, thou art old, and thy sons walk not in thy ways. Now make us a king to judge us like all the nations. But the thing displeased Samuel when they said, Give us a king to judge us. And Samuel prayed unto the Lord. And the Lord said to Samuel, Hearken unto the voice of the people in all that they say unto thee, for they have not rejected thee, but they have rejected me, that I should not reign over them. According to all the works which they have done since the day that I brought them up out of Egypt, even unto this day, wherewith they have forsaken me and served other gods, so do they also unto thee. Now therefore hearken unto their voice, howbeit, yet protest solemnly unto them, and show them the manner of the king that shall reign over them. Samuel told all the words of the Lord unto the people that asked of him a king. He said, This will be the manner of the king that shall reign over you. He will take your sons and appoint them for himself, for his chariots, and to be his horsemen, and some shall run before his chariots. He will appoint him captains over thousands and captains over fifties, and will set them to ear his ground and to reap his harvest, and to make his instruments of war and instruments of his chariots. He will take your daughters to be confectionaries and to be cooks and to be bakers, and he will take your fields and your vineyards and your olive yards, even the best of them, and give them to his servants. He will take the tenth of your seed and of your vineyard and give to his officers and to his servants. He will take your men servants and your maid servants and your goodliest young men and your asses, put them to his work. He will take the tenth of your sheep, and ye shall be his servants, and ye shall cry out in that day because of your king, which ye shall have chosen you. And the Lord will not hear you in that day. Nevertheless, the people refused to obey the voice of Samuel, and they said, Nay, but we will have a king over us, that we also may be like all the nations, that our king may judge us, and go out before us, and fight our battles. And Samuel heard all the words of the people, and he rehearsed them in the ears of the Lord. The Lord said to Samuel, Hearken unto their voice, and make them a king. And Samuel said unto the men of Israel, Go ye every man unto his city. Sure the Lord will bless to us the reading of that chapter. Let us bow for prayer. Our Father, we thank thee now for the reading of the Holy Scriptures. By thy Spirit wilt thou help us to understand it and take it in. And when we've learned the lesson from thy word, that we shall apply it in a practical way to our lives. Remember at this time, those who need to be restored to the joy of their salvation, be with them all and bless them for the Lord Jesus' sake. Amen. Now, during his lifetime, Samuel has been a great man of God. He's been a good man for his nation. But now when we come to chapter 8 of 1 Samuel, it says, And it came to pass when Samuel was old. Here we have the picture now of an old man, a man who has worked hard, a man who has served his generation, a man who has served his nation. But now, it is deeply sorrowful to discover failure in a man who has been a man of God, especially when we remember the terrible object lesson which had come before him in Eli and in Eli's sons. You remember that Samuel, as a little boy, was serving under Eli the priest, and it was Samuel who had to deliver the message to Eli concerning his sons and what God was about to do. But has Samuel forgot this? See, we learn here that faith is not transmitted by succession. A man may be a man of faith. He may be a man of God. That doesn't mean that his sons will be the same as their father. Now, Eli was a priest, and his two sons were wicked men. And now here we find that Samuel, who knew this, Samuel grows up and spends years in serving God, but he also has sons. But where is there not failure in poor, frail flesh? See, only in Christ has God seen from first to last that which has given joy to his heart. Blessed be his name, says the one. In him will be gathered up all the broken threads of human history at the finish. You can see in Adam and Noah and Moses, Aaron and David, all these men were marked by failure. But what they should have been will be realized at the end in God's blessed Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. Samuel, beginning to feel the weight of his years, made his sons judges over Israel, according to the first verse of our chapter. Now, no mention of any word from the Lord regarding this. There's no record of any prayer on the part of the prophet. Yet, this was the man who was conspicuous in his day for his powerful intercession. Now, why should he appoint his sons? Going back in history a little, there was a great leader called Moses. But when the day came for Moses to finish with his work, he didn't appoint his sons. When Moses felt that his term of service was drawing to a close, he said, "Let the Lord, the God of the spirits of all flesh, set a man over the congregation, which may go out before them, and which may go in before them, and which may lead them out, which may bring them in, that the congregation of Jehovah be not as sheep which have no shepherd." That was beautiful. And it shows that a true shepherd heart was found in Moses. But he did not venture to appoint anyone. Neither did he suggest his own sons for the service. Indeed, he willingly acquiesced in the Lord's choice of Joshua. Why did the thought of family succession enter the mind of Samuel? Had not the sovereignty of God been strikingly manifested in his own case, when the successional priesthood was in utter failure? Likewise, when you come over to the book of the Acts, which gives us the history of the early church, the principle of God's divine choice in our own era is repeatedly shown. For example, you have two men, Stephen and Philip. They were chosen by the assembly in Jerusalem to look after widows, and they were quickly called of God into the very forefront of the testimony, the one in Jerusalem and the other in Samaria. Then you find in chapter 13 of the Acts, Barnabas and Saul were selected by the Holy Spirit from amongst a group of prophets and teachers in Antioch to go forth and evangelize the Gentile world. And then you have other men brought on the scene, such as Apollos. He was very abruptly brought on the scene, quite apart from all other laborers and so on. Now, this is the way of the Spirit of God. But oh, how feebly has Christendom understood it. Successional order has been the established ecclesiastical principle, and it's been to the damage and detriment of God's people and to the hindrance of the work of God. Yet, Samuel's institution of his sons into the judgeship was well meant. His one desire, no doubt, was to make adequate provision for God's people when he himself could serve them no longer. Well, but did not the Lord know the age of his servant? And did the Lord not care for his people? Let us remember that these people belong to God, not to Samuel. Do we sometimes feel anxious about the future of those amongst whom we labor? Are we disposed to make provision for them according to our own thoughts? If so, let us learn the lesson of Samuel's blunder. Creature hands need not be stretched out to support the ark of God, you know. God is quite able to take care of it himself. Remarkably, the man who spoke of getting old lived for quite a number of years after that. He lived to see his sons run their course and pass into obscurity. He saw Saul rise and fall. He anointed David to be king in his room, and he afterwards sheltered him when driven from home by his would-be destroyer. It is important to emphasize these facts. The sin of the people in demanding a king is obvious. It was wrong, but they did it. But it must not be forgotten that the error of the man of God contributed to it. Had Samuel gone quietly on with his service, ministering to the people with such strength as God might be pleased to give, this episode of Saul, with all its disastrous results, might never have been. He who kept Moses strong and vigorous until he was 120 years old, according to Deuteronomy 34, verse 7, could also have sustained Samuel until God's time arrived for the establishment of the new order. We have already seen that it was God's intention to give Israel a king, and apparently Samuel might have continued to serve the people until David. The man of the Lord's choice was ready to occupy the throne. Now, let us go on with our ministry, and just as we are helped of God, let us leave the tomorrow of his work to him. You know, he is the head of the body, the church. And he's still enthroned on high, and from his own hand and heart, he will supply the gifts to continue serving his people until the need is no more. It's sorrowful to learn, you know, that Samuel's sons walked not in his ways, but turned aside after lucre, and took bribes, and perverted judgment. One wonders that the sons of one so preeminently godly should be so evil. Now, with the lessons of Eli and his sons before him, Samuel surely thought that his own household should be a true testimony for God. Is it possible that his going on circuit from year to year explains the breakdown? Could be. Now the elders of Israel now waited upon Samuel in Ramah and said unto him, Behold, thou art old, and thy sons walk not in thy ways. Now make us a king to judge us like all the nations. Now the bearing of the man of God at this moment was delightful. There was no word of resentment at the charges made against his sons. Neither was there any effort put forth to bolster up the order that he had so mistakenly established. Samuel prayed unto the Lord. How different everything would have been had he prayed before he made his sons judges. Beloved, is it our holy habit to take everything to God in prayer? Have we really learned that we are utterly dependent upon him for every step? You know, the hand of Satan is surely discernible in Israel's demand for a king, and especially in the willfulness with which they persisted in the demand after the seriousness of it was pointed out to them. But you know, the malignant adversary is ever seeking to forestall God. Of course, he does it for mischief. He wants to upset things. See, the divine purpose concerning a king had now been revealed, but Satan would then furnish a king. You know, in like manner, there's something about to take place before very long. At that particular time that we're reading of back in the book of Samuel, they had just passed through the time of the judges, when there was no king in Israel and every man was doing that which was right in his own eyes. That's the book of Judges, no king. When you come to the little book of Ruth, there's a man there and his name means God is my king. But the strange thing was that while that was his name, that was the profession he made, unfortunately he didn't allow God to be king in his life. He was a failure. When you come into the book here of Samuel, the people are saying, we want a king. We want a king. God allows them to have a king. And Saul, who was the choice of the people, ruled over them for 40 years, was a complete failure. Do you realize that at the present time, you and I have got to face this, that in 1948, the new state of Israel was set up. But you must admit with me that Israel has not a king. There's no king reigning in Israel today. But the day will come, according to the word of God, when that nation again will want a king. They'll want somebody to rule over them. Of course, God has his man already appointed. It's not David, but it's the one who was David's son and who is David's Lord. And Jehovah shall give unto him the throne of his father David, and he shall reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there shall be no end. But the unfortunate thing is this, that the nation will not be prepared to wait God's time. In the days of Samuel, they couldn't wait. They said, make us a king. They wanted their king. They determined to have their king. And Samuel was upset. Samuel took it before the Lord and said, they've rejected me. And God said to Samuel, no, Samuel, it's not you they've rejected, it's me they've rejected. And they had rejected God. You see, when God brought them out of the land of Egypt, God was to be their ruler, God was to be their king, they were to be a theocracy, one nation under God. Now they said, we don't want to be different from the other nations. We want to be like the other nations that are around us. So therefore make us a king, someone that will go before us, someone that will lead us, someone that will take us into battle and overthrow our enemies. Make us a king. Isn't it a strange thing? Just before this, when they were afraid of the Philistines, Samuel prayed for them. When the Philistines were ready to battle with them, coming upon them to destroy them, so to speak, and they cried unto the Lord, and the Samuel interceded with God on their behalf. God gave them a mighty victory. He thundered against their enemies, and he delivered their enemies into their hand. But now they forgot this, and they would rather put their confidence in a man. They said, make us a king. And do you know that very soon the day will come when the new nation of Israel will want a king? And they'll get a king. And the old devil will see to it that they are given a king, but he won't be God's man. He'll be the man of sin. He will be the willful king. He'll be the false shepherd, the one who is called the Antichrist. And instead of waiting God's time till the Messiah comes in power and in glory, they themselves will appoint their own king, and under his hand they'll have to suffer. The nation of Israel, at the time when they chose Saul to be their king, they thought they'd got a wonderful man, but unfortunately he proved to be the wrong man. You see, Satan is always ready to come in to try to forestall God. And so he was ready to give them their man here. And they got their own king. the divine purpose concerning a king had been revealed. But Satan says, here's the man, and before long this nation again are going to take a king who will be a false shepherd. And when they get him, they'll discover they'll have to pay an awful price, because when they wanted the king here, and they demanded the king because they didn't want Samuel's sons, and then they stated what they wanted. Nevertheless, here's what Samuel said to them. He said, if you want a king, remember this, you'll have to pay homage to him. He'll take your young men and he'll put them into his army. He'll have to have captains over thousands and captains over fifties and so on. Then he'll have to have those that will work on the land to keep the farms going, to provide the food for his great army. He'll also need instruments of war. They'll have to work in the armament factories, and they'll have to prepare his chariots, and these men will have to be fed. So he'll take your daughters and he'll put them in to be cooks, etc., etc., to prepare the food for them all. And then you'll have to pay the taxes, and so he'll take your fields from you, he'll take your vineyards from you, he'll take your olive yards from you, he'll take the very best of them, and he'll give them to his servants. That's what your king will do. And then he'll take the tenth of your seed. You'll have to pay heavy, heavy taxes to keep all this up, and you'll lose your men servants, servants, you'll lose the best of your young men. You'll take all you've got. And they listened to all this. It was put plainly to them, and yet they cried out and they said, nevertheless, nevertheless, the people refused to obey the voice of Samuel. They said, nay, but we will have a king over us. And you know, they refused to listen to the truth. They would not be warned by Samuel. They got the king, all right, but they had to pay an awful price. And the day came when their king, who stood head and shoulders above the rest, was chosen, anointed as king. But someone said, how shall this man save us? Nevertheless, they got their king, and Saul reigned over them for 40 years. They had turned away from God. They had turned away from God's man. They now had the man of their own choosing. And you know, a strange thing, he had an awful career. When they found him, he had lost his father's asses. He couldn't look after them, and yet they made him king. He proved to be a complete failure. The day came when God wouldn't answer him. He went away and tried to get advice from a woman who was a witch. He turned, as it were, to spiritism in his day. And then he went into battle and lost the battle against the enemy. And he actually took his own life, fell on his own sword, destroyed himself, finished up a suicide, fell on dread Gilboa. I tell you, my friend, when that nation turned away from God, when they turned away from Samuel, and they turned their own way and they chose their own man, they were well warned. Nevertheless, they turned their back on God and on God's principles, and they chose their own man, had to pay an awful price. And any nation that turns away from God will have to pay a similar price. And any individual that turns away from God will have to pay the price. Oh, let us beware of this. The best thing we can do in life is to be obedient to the Word of God. We can bow before Him and acknowledge Him. Make Christ your King, King of your life. Crown Him now. Let him have all the glory. It's far better to crown him Lord of your life than to bow to the man of your own choosing, who may be the man of sin.